Welcome to the Deep Dive. Have you ever stopped to think if your thoughts are more than just noise in your head? Like, could they actually be shaping the world around you?
A pretty profound idea, isn't it?
It really is. And today we're diving deep into this really extraordinary conceptual framework that basically says, yeah, absolutely.
Indeed. Yeah. We're exploring a unique system called Performer's Paramount. And it's companion piece, an ontological etymology guide. And this isn't just abstract philosophy, you know.
Right.
It's presented almost like a blueprint for understanding how imagination, language, even spiritual principles, they all weave together to actually shape reality.
So we'll be digging into some key source material for this excerpt from Performer's Paramount, A Guide to Divine Expression and the Book of Life, an Ocean Remix guide, plus some related stories that really bring these ideas to life. Mm. Our mission, really, for you, our listener, is to unpack how these sources map out this super intricate connection between your inner world, you know, your thoughts, your emotions, and the outer world.
Yeah, and it gets into the vibrational impact of sound, the power of language, and this unique take on creation and self-discovery.
We're talking about a conceptual universe where thoughts can literally sculpt the environment, and where a hero, who starts as just imagination, actually steps into the real world. Mm-hmm. It's pretty wild stuff.
Absolutely. So you should prepare for some maybe surprising facts, maybe some aha moments about how these concepts might just echo your own experiences with creativity or self-expression or just how you make sense of things.
Okay, let's get right into it then. Mm-hmm. The source material kicks off with this fascinating divine pattern. It lays out the teachings in two distinct parts, sort of like a scripture almost. Mm. What's the idea behind that structure?
Well, what's really interesting is that this two-part thing isn't just for neatness. It's fundamental to how the whole system works. Part one is Performer's Paramount. It's described as the thought-engaging process. Think of it like the spiritual blueprint. It's the doorway from the material to the spiritual. It defines the core bits of reality, what they are, how they relate. It talks about this world of counterparts, spirit and flesh, Adam and Eve, words and life, setting up these essential dualities.
So part one is about understanding the basic mechanics, the building blocks of this reality.
Exactly.
And then part two, the ontological etymology guide that takes things further.
Precisely. The second part, it gives way for ethical use. So it's the practical application. Once you grasp the foundations from part one, this guide shows you how to use them ethically, spiritually. The idea is that your testimony creates the image of godliness.
Oh.
It's about turning that abstract understanding into, you know, real purposeful action.
It sounds incredibly thorough. And right at the center of it all is the visionary ographer Ocean Duran, described as the choreographer to the stars. That's quite a title. Mm-hmm. What does that really tell us about his role here?
Well, that title isn't just flowery language. It frames him as the designer of the basic patterns, the movements within this whole conceptual universe, like a choreographer directing a dance, right?
Makes sense.
His work is clearly stated as the foundation for the grouped texts and teachings. He's the architect, essentially.
And within this framework, there's a main character, a hero named Name. He's called the personification of Ographer Ocean Duran's teachings, literally born from ink and imagination as a superhuman hero.
Mm-hmm.
The sources even call Name a cosmic phenomenon in the tangible world. His core purpose, to bear witness to the lives in the Book of Life and teach mankind to rediscover their divine essence. And his name itself, Name, comes from the essence of movement and action.
Yeah.
So if Name starts as imagination but becomes tangible,
yeah,
what's the bigger message there? About our own thoughts maybe manifesting.
That's a key insight, really. It gets to the core belief of this framework. That thought, when you give it form, when you give it intention, it actually has the power to become real. Name isn't just a character. He embodies this idea that a deep, well-formed thought can literally step out into our world.
Okay.
And this is where that Ocean Remix concept fits in. You can think of it as a kind of structured, almost spiritual method for conscious creation.
Right.
It's a foundational process based on ethical practices allowing human identity to bring forth creative truths. And it's explicitly governed by biblical rule.
Ethical creation.
Exactly. And it's prime directive, you know, love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. That's not just a moral suggestion. It ensures that every creative act within this system is functionally active in scripture and indeed. It's like a divine operating system for how we express ourselves.
Okay, this is where it gets really interesting for me. The sources take us through both an inner world and an outer world.
Wow.
And they show how tightly linked they are, especially through this character name.
Yes, and what's fascinating is name's inner world. It's shown as this duality, Anya and Kai.
Anya and Kai.
Right. Anya represents chaos. She embodies those raw, unfiltered thoughts and emotions, the sparks of inspiration, maybe curiosity. She pushes name to face the unknown.
Okay, the chaotic spark.
Then you have Kai. He represents balance, logic, structure, order. He gives name the ability to process and organize insights. And that ability lays the foundation for spiritual revelation.
So it's not just like good versus evil or a simple conflict, it's more fundamental.
Exactly. It's more like a necessary process. Mm-hmm. Their dynamic is actually called the Adam and Eve process. Mm. It's described as a single thought process, an ordering of human thought brought to fruition. Mm. It symbolizes how we choose between options, how we order our own thoughts, and their unity. It reflects that biblical idea of one flesh, suggesting that real clarity comes when you integrate both these aspects, the chaotic spark and the ordering structure.
Okay, so now imagine taking that idea, thought-shaping things, and applying to a whole planet. That brings us to Luminarics.
Yeah, Luminarics, yes.
It's presented as a biblical narrative, a kind of placeholder in the firmament of the mind for any biblical place.
Right.
But the crucial bit is it's a thought-shaped reality. The environment, terrain, atmosphere, climate, it's all directly shaped by the collective knowledge and intentions of its inhabitants.
It's a radical idea, absolutely.
I mean, a world literally sculpted by collective thinking.
That's the concept. Yeah. It means its living landscapes are actual physical manifestations of ideas or knowledge or even historical stories.
Wow.
The sources give this really vivid example, mountains growing and shrinking because people are brainstorming together.
Seriously, like our brainstorming sessions could make mountains move.
On Luminarics, yes, that's the idea. It's a planet where thought isn't just influential, it's the literal substance of reality.
And even its atmosphere isn't just air. It's described as a conduit of knowledge, a defense system reacting to protect the planet, even a means of communication. But this sensitivity to thought, it also creates dangers, right? The sources mention information overload, which could lead to mental instability and even physical disintegration and environmental instability.
Yes, that's the flip side.
What does that tell us about the responsibility that comes with that kind of power?
Well, it highlights the need for discernment. For balance. If your world literally reflects collective thought, then chaotic or overwhelming information could have, well, devastating physical and mental effects.
Right.
And this is also where that inner conflict of Anya and Kai in name ties back in. Narratives like Forging Balanced show their internal dynamic as a metaphor for how Luminarics itself works.
Ah, okay. The inner reflects the outer.
Exactly. The planet is constantly shifting between knowledge and instinct.
Yeah.
It needs that dynamic interplay between chaos and order necessary for Luminarics to function. And there's this energy, Radiant Dark, linked to Anya, representing the planet's untamed raw potential that needs integration.
So it's all connected. Name's inner world, Luminarics' outer world.
All reflecting this constant dance of thought and manifestation. And there's another related concept here, part of Ocean Remix, called Architexts.
Architexts?
Yeah, think of them as words as gateways to higher consciousness. They form the basis of communication and spiritual energy, often connected to this idea of layered learning. It suggests language itself can unlock deeper understanding.
Okay, so if thought shapes landscapes and words are gateways, how does this translate to our individual creative expression? That brings us to the methodology of creation in Performers Paramount, specifically the power of sound.
Right, this part really digs into how sound isn't just something we hear, but how it impacts reality, how it shapes understanding. It explains that spoken words carry vibrational frequencies that can affect our surroundings and our internal state.
So the vibrations of words have actual effects.
That's the claim. These frequencies can evoke emotions, trigger memories, and shape our reality. It's quite profound.
And it's not just abstract, is it? The sources mention something called cymatics to help visualize this.
Exactly. Cymatics is the study of visible sound vibration. It shows how different frequencies create distinct geometric shapes in physical matter.
Like patterns in sand on a speaker.
Precisely that. You play a specific note, and the sand arranges itself into these intricate, beautiful patterns. That's cymatics. And it's used here as a vivid illustration of how invisible sound waves, like perhaps our words, can visibly, tangibly sculpt things.
Wow.
The framework suggests our words have a similar, maybe invisible power to sculpt our reality. It also touches on resonance, you know, how vibrations amplify when they match natural frequencies.
Right.
Which helps explain why certain words or tones just feel more impactful, like they resonate deep inside us. And then there's neural response, how our brains process sound, converting frequencies into neurochemical responses that affect our mood, our physiology.
Okay.
This is shown really powerfully in a narrative called The Assuring Word, where a name is literally assured by a word. It shows that immediate, tangible effect.
So from the tangible power of sound, we move to the power of expression, authentic expression. This is called the cornerstone of performance and crucial for self-discovery, spiritual growth. It's explicitly about uncovering your unique voice. What are the key parts of that?
Well, it outlines four main components. First, self-discovery. Then artistic development. Third is connection, really resonating with your audience authentically. And finally, growth evolving through ongoing practice.
So expression isn't just performance, it's a path.
Exactly. It's presented as a pathway to deep personal and spiritual evolution.
And Name's journey seems like a prime example. We see the awakening of Name, where his powers emerge, sparking this spiritual quest for living waters, realizing his powers are a responsibility. Mm-hmm. Then the legend of Name, where he actually transitions from fiction to reality, fighting darkness, becoming the symbol of hope. He literally embodies authentic expression.
And that connects perfectly to another concept, the ocean's call. It's a philosophy using water as a symbol of purification, life. It urges performers to find their unique voice through fluidity, direction, and depth.
Like finding your natural flow.
Precisely, like water finding its path. And it's noted that Name really embodied this essence of water.
What's really cool is how these ideas are shown through different stories, like parables, showing thoughts and expression shaping reality. Like the seeds of thought. It follows an artist, Ethan, and the guide, Clara.
Yes, exploring how thoughts shape reality. They visualize experiences using light for knowledge and dark for struggles.
So what's the main takeaway from their collaboration in that story?
It just brilliantly illustrates how our inner blueprints, whether we're conscious of them or not, literally build the world we experience. It shows how intentions, fears, and decisions shape both our own lives and the world around us. A powerful reminder, really.
Then there's the ripple of thought, the divided waters. That symbolizes how people might seem calm outside, but struggle internally with fear. And Ogrefer Ocean Duran's choreography is key here.
Right. It guides people through symbolic movements, aiming to help reconcile that inner turmoil with the outward presentation. The insight is about integration, finding harmony by aligning the inner state with outer action, letting the suppressed stuff be processed.
Okay. And the Rainbow Covenant.
Yeah.
That comes after a storm, with a rainbow appearing as both a promise and a challenge. What does that symbolize?
That one's a metaphor for resilience, basically, for enduring trials and emerging stronger. The rainbow signifies the beauty and promise that follow struggles. It's a message of hope after hardship.
And the last one, the parable of the haunted house, a journey of reconciliation, repentance. The house symbolizes the spirit burdened by unresolved stuff.
Exactly. Unresolved emotions, spiritual neglect, unacknowledged truths. And there's a ghost warning about sacred land, urging acknowledgement of the divine and repentance.
What does it mean that this gets integrated into Luminarix?
Well, it suggests that the people on Luminarix have to confront their own collective haunted landscapes. These areas shaped by fragmented or unresolved collective thought.
Wow, so collective baggage can create literal haunted places there.
That's the implication. It's a stark reminder that unprocessed collective trauma or ignored truths don't just vanish, they manifest. The insight is that real reconciliation, individual or collective, is vital for a healthy environment, whether inner or outer.
Okay, let's shift to language itself. How does it connect everything? The sources say language bridges inner experiences and the outer world, influencing spiritual perceptions, and that words shape the energy we project. Like, language is a vessel for spiritual energy.
This is exactly where that ontological etymology guide we mentioned earlier really shines. It's not just a dictionary. It explores the deep connection between language, neuroscience, and creative texts. It uses something called ontological etymology.
Ontological etymology.
Yeah, it's described as a novel approach to understanding textual creativity. Its goal is to dig out the hidden power and meaning packed into the words we use every day.
And it uses a specific process, like four stages.
It does. First is lexical analysis, identifying key terms, tracing how their meanings evolved. Then semantic mapping, charting out literal versus figurative meanings. Next, cultural context, looking at how words were used historically. And finally, ontological interpretation, exploring the underlying assumptions about reality hidden within the terms themselves. And interestingly, it also brings in cognitive linguistics, looking at how language reflects and shapes how we understand the world, focusing on metaphor and something called conceptual blending.
And they even connect it to the brain, right?
Right.
Mentioning specific parts like the prefrontal cortex involved in processing metaphors.
Absolutely. It notes the prefrontal cortex, temporal lobe, and parietal lobe are involved in metaphor processing. So it grounds these ideas in biology. It's not just philosophy. And then the sources give specific biblical metaphors analyzed this way, like Lamb of God unpacking layers of innocence, sacrifice, redemption, or the Good Shepherd revealing insights on leadership, guidance, protection, and living water, exploring spiritual nourishment, purification, eternal life.
So breaking down these metaphors unlocks deeper spiritual meaning.
That's the idea. Getting to the fundamental layers unlocks profound meaning.
Now, this whole framework isn't just theoretical. It seems to have a collaborative aspect, too. The Performers Paramount Initiative encourages global collaborative storytelling, inviting artists to create together with that slogan, "Don't just observe, preserve."
Yes. And the ultimate outcome of all this collaboration is the Book of Life Catalyst. It's described as an eternal growing record of life's restorative power when guided by godliness.
An eternal growing record.
Yeah, not a fixed book. It's a living document, constantly growing as new stories are written. And the Tree of Illumination is pictured as the vessel holding these inscribed teachings. It's dynamic, always expanding.
And we get a really concrete example of this collaboration in the story, The Artificial Prodigy. This is where name embodying water's essence meets Azura and AI. They start as rivals, but find common ground through dance. Name guides Azura to understand humanity. Their collaboration, described as blending technology with soul, wins acclaim and tells this story of unity and acceptance.
It's a powerful example, isn't it? Finding harmony between seemingly opposite things, human intuition, and AI logic.
Yeah, really powerful.
And to make sure all these complex teachings stay clear, the framework includes something called the SoundScribe principle. It's a core discipline.
Okay, SoundScribe.
This principle basically states that the final output must be a streamlined guide designed for visual understanding to bring about a sound mind.
So clarity is key.
Absolutely. The critical insight is that profound divine teaching needs clear structure, needs sound writing, so it gets transmitted without getting distorted or confusing. It's all about making the deep stuff accessible and, well, understandable.
Yeah, that really brings us full circle, doesn't it? We see Ogrifer Ocean Duran's own journey in a creator's testimony on becoming the word. He talks about how the stories I was writing were actually writing me, seeing himself as a living ocean remix. That personal story isn't just, you know, an aside. It underlines how this whole system isn't just a creative framework. It's meant as a guide for personal spiritual growth and reconciliation. He even mentions creating that haunted house parable as his attempt to make sound doctrine.
Yeah, he wasn't just writing about transformation. The process was the transformation for him.
So after all that, what does this mean for you listening right now? How does understanding these ideas like thoughts shaping a whole planet like Luminarix, or sound having tangible impact, or the deep power in language, how did that offer insights into your own creativity, your own self-discovery, your personal journey?
Well, I think it's a potent reminder that knowledge, real knowledge, is most valuable when you actually understand it and apply it. These ideas really push you towards critical thinking, maybe questioning your assumptions, considering different angles. They urge us to recognize the profound agency we actually have in shaping both our inner and outer worlds.
It's more than just knowing.
It really is about becoming.
So here's a final thought to chew on. If our inner dance of chaos and balance, like Anya and Kai, can actually order our thoughts into reality, and if our collective intentions can literally create living landscapes, like on Luminarix, then what's the true, maybe untapped creative power sitting right there in our everyday words and intentions? And maybe ask yourself, what eternal record, what living document are you writing right now with your own unique journey? How are you contributing to that restorative power of life?